Friday, South Dakota's State Secretary of Agriculture Lucas Lynch paid a visit to our Midwest Communication Studios here in Sioux Falls. And Lucas, just out of another meeting this morning, has joined us. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Bill. Good morning, and Merry Christmas to you and to the listeners out there. It's another beautiful holiday here coming on us. What a great time.
We were talking a little Friday that we did expect to hear some news that our governors of Iowa and South Dakota were actually penning something together. Did that happen?
You bet. So on Friday, there was a joint letter. Actually, there were six states involved in that, North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Minnesota, Iowa, and Kansas came together and did a joint letter with Governor Branstad and all the other governors in support of revisiting the RFS numbers and the renewable fuel standard and holding the line instead of compromising in terms of the level of renewable fuels that we have in the marketplace.
Is that kind of action where you've got six governors that can agree on anything on ethanol going to help as far as the major oil companies who have their bucks and their lobbyists?
You know, I think at the end of the day, it's really just reminding folks about the technology that has gone into renewable energy and the fact that we're here because we made a commitment as a country that renewable fuels is a direction that we wanted to go to require less dependence on oil or even that of foreign oil. You know, and as if I'm guessing if you ask any veteran that served in whether it be the Gulf War, the Operation Iraqi Freedom, or Operation Enduring Freedom, you know, Iraq's or a veteran's perspective is going to be one of, hey, whatever we can do to have energy independence, that's a good thing. And right now, part of that is our energy independence in the Midwest comes from our renewable energy in our country. And so that renewable fuel standard of doing everything we can to accommodate a higher blend and continue to produce our ethanol that's out there and not restrict its progress. Because, Bill, one of the most important things that happens as you continue to chart a course for ethanol, you continue to chart a course for research and technology and investment. These fuels didn't just happen because we just decided one day we're just going to make it. It really became a product of science. In order to have that continued efficiency as we look at our cellulosic ethanol, as we look at that's our corn stover. And for those listening, corn stover is what's left of the corn stalk after the corn is harvested. The ear of corn is off that stalk. All that stover that's out in the field, there's still a lot of sugar. There's still a lot of starch, if you will, inside that stalk that can be extracted. And so part of that is the science and technology that goes into that research so that we can figure out a day. Maybe we can even continue to work on our efficiencies around wood and it's extracting that energy out of the different sources. And so that's why it's so important. Plus, on top of it, Bill, our rural economy, if you look at what ethanol has done, not only for our rural areas, but also for feed efficiencies, because if you look at, the dried distillers grains is what's left after processing, or wet cake, that goes right into our livestock industry, and so it's that much more digestible. It's been a fantastic complement to our livestock feeding operations. We understand, though, that $7 corn is tough on livestock guys, but we also understand that $4 corn is tough on covering input costs in this very expensive environment that we live in.
I was back in the state that you and I share, Iowa, over the weekend. The Sioux City Journal had an editorial about the raw milk change in South Dakota. Can you kind of explain that to me? Because it talked about the fact that South Dakota was doing something that few other states had.
Sure. Well, I would say that at its core, for anybody that may or may not be familiar with raw milk, I'll just walk through that a little bit. In a state, every state in the country has raw milk or has the possibility of raw milk being produced in the state, and that is that of right off the farm, that of a cow. And that fresh milk cannot cross state lines. So that's why it's part of state-specific guidelines. So just to be clear, if you produce milk in any state in the country, it can only be sold within that state if it's legal to do so. Raw milk sales across state lines is illegal. And when you start looking at then what are the rules of every state, one like South Dakota, in 2009, we have an affidavit from the Department of Health in a county here in South Dakota where three families were sickened by raw milk sales off of one of our permitted producers in our state. We had an out-of-court settlement agreement with that family. And really, one of the things that we did there is just saying, hey, we need some real strict guidelines here in terms of if you're going to be selling unpasteurized milk into the stream of commerce, you need to hit some minimum guidelines. And so that out-of-court settlement that took place in 2010, way before my arrival to the Department of Ag, was agreed to by that producer as well as the department.
We appreciate your visit, and I know you're going to become more of a permanent part of our show in 2014. And if you will, kind of wrap the milk thing with us really quick.
Yeah, real quick. So basically, the State Department of Agriculture is duty-bound to have food safety paramount. And really, at the request of producers wanting clarification in the rules, we went to multiple meetings this last year. We had multiple hearings, and at the end of the day, we implemented those rules for public health and safety.
Lucas, I appreciate you taking the time. We'll talk to you perhaps next week if we can do that.